It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Quarterback sweep around the left side. Parker has it at the 15 to the 10, 5, and goes in. Touchdown, Parker Gates around the left end.
That's Parker.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
To the 25-20, cut back inside of the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Parker Gates.
Still Parker.
Whoops, how about this one?
Back to Gates. Gates, another open three. Good again. Nothing but net as Parker's knocked down two in a row for the Blue Jays.
Still Parker.
Okay, I think I got it.
Baseline, Parker Gates. Head fake. Way up. Good. And a foul on third three. Parker Gates scores it for the Blue Jays.
Nope.
For crying out loud, Dusty, are there any highlights with Riley in them?
Try this.
Vinary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Guiler. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there as well as Caleb Brummer.
Nailed it.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is it's really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go Powercats' very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
Riley, I challenge anybody to put together a better intro than that, my man.
Oh, my goodness. That was something else. That's all I can say about that.
I can think of one family member that really loved that intro.
My dad?
Well, maybe so, yeah. I'm guessing Parker probably enjoyed that a little bit, too.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Oh, man. Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good. It's, you know, classes started this week at K-State, but I'm no longer a student. And so, all my friends, my roommates and everything are going to class, and I'm just kind of like, oh, so this is what it's like to be an adult.
Uh-huh.
It's different.
Yes, it is. What time did you get up this morning?
Oh, you know, alarm went off at like 8:15-ish, but nowhere to go, really. I just kind of laid around for a while. I'll go to the gym later, maybe, and then I'll do some work this afternoon.
Maybe.
It's a relaxed schedule right now. I got one more week before football really kicks into high gear.
That's
and
true.
I have to start, you know, really kicking it in.
That's true. I liked how you said it might go work out, maybe. I heard the maybe right after that. That was pretty funny. Hey, it's Dusty's birthday. You want to say anything, Dusty, about on his birthday?
Well, I was about to text him, but I guess, you know, over the radio is probably,
sure,
you know, better.
Yeah.
So it's actually in person. Well, somewhat in person, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Yes, happy birthday. I got him a birthday present, although he knows what it is because he had me buy it for him. And I guess technically he's paying me back for it. So it's not really a birthday present.
It's not a present, then.
I did him a birthday favor.
Oh,
how about that?
Okay.
I did him a birthday favor.
Oh, can we share what this is, or is it top secret?
Yeah. No, it's just it's a K-State baseball jersey because I found they were selling game-worn baseball jerseys, and so I was there, and Dusty asked me to get him one.
Cool.
So, happy birthday favor, Dusty.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, like you said, you're really going to get into it beginning next week. Let's jump into it. Riley Gates, Go Powercat. He's our insider talking K-State athletics throughout the football and basketball season, and glad to have him on with us here today. Let's begin with the old guy. The old wise guru, Bill Snyder, getting they reworked his contract, called it extension, whatever you want to call it. Bill Snyder is under contract until he's 83. I know we've had Fitz on the program before, and he jokes about how every year he's going to just keep saying this is the year that Bill Snyder is going to retire. There'll be a new coach at K-State the following year. There are people that say, yes, I'm going to keep picking KU to lose in the Big 12 in basketball. Eventually, I will be right. We've talked about it here on the show before that there are many things that connected the dots for us that Bill Snyder's going to coach. I consider him a lifer. I've thought about that all along. And once he beat throat cancer, got past that hurdle, there to me was no reason for him to step away, because as we know, he absolutely puts football first. He loves football. And I always compare him to my grandpa on the farm. He's a farmer. He's a lifer. And if he's going to go, the perfect way for him to go would be to die out on the farm. And I almost get the feeling Bill Snyder, if he's going to, you know, croak, it probably the best case scenario for him would be doing what he loves to do, and that's coaching football.
I mean, it's starting to head that way, isn't it? You know, it just seems like, you know, every year when you think he's done, he kind of puts in for more. And, you know, I was starting to think that there was just no way he could make it past last year. And then when he announced he was coming back for this year, I said, well, this has to be the last one. I think he's just run out of gas. But, you know, over the last month, I think he's gotten a new sense of energy. You know, the contract extension, yeah, it brings him 5 more years or whatever like that. But it doesn't really mean much. I mean, he was going to coach in his old contract. I mean, it said he could coach as long as he wanted to coach. It's mainly for recruiting purposes, so that way you can go out and tell an 18, 17-year-old kid, hey, I'm going to be here for at least 5 more years, and they'll believe that easily. So, you know, if you had told me before, you know, Big 12 Media Day in Frisco it'd be about a month ago now, that Bill Snyder was going to sign a 5-year extension, I would say, yeah, but there's no way he's going to live out the entire length of that contract. But now, after seeing him at Big 12 Media Day, after seeing him at K-State Media Day, and just kind of getting this new sense of energy I think he has, I think these new coordinators really kind of have him excited and kind of ready to go for another go-around. And I really wouldn't be shocked if he makes it all 5 years of this extension. I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, is there really somebody out there that's going to step in immediately? And, you know, Bill Snyder has K-State at anywhere from, you know, 7 to 9 wins a year right now. And is there someone that's going to come in and immediately take them to 10 to 12 wins a year? Probably not. And if they do, it's not going to be an overnight thing. So he's not hurting K-State football right now. And as long as he's not hurting it, why make a change?
How much do you think the infusion of youth, and I would say energy and enthusiasm? Tom Hayes no longer out there defensively. Dana Dimmel left for UTEP. And now you got Andre Coleman, Blake Seiler, Colin Klein. I mean, you got young guys, some that are in some really key positions now. We can, I don't know, what's K-State have? 15 different co-offensive coordinators, whatever titles they want to give them. but these guys, I mean, there's an energy. And I know, I think I can speak for you, but you can speak for yourself, obviously, is that you guys would love to have more access to all the coaches, not just Coach Snyder. And Andre Coleman has been a very interesting guy to talk to. And I read articles of all you guys covering K-State on a regular basis. Do you think that the changing in regards to going younger on the staff and putting some younger guys in key positions has maybe kind of ignited a spark for Coach Snyder to where he's got a little youthfulness to him now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it's ignited him. I think it's ignited the players, and then therefore the players are igniting Coach Snyder. It's totally different. You know, first and foremost, the one thing that I think, you know, if you're really plugged into K-State or you follow K-State well, it's no secret that Dana Dimmel and Sean Snyder didn't exactly get along. And somebody had to go. You know, whether it was Sean Snyder, whether it was Dana, I don't know. Somebody needed to go for this thing to work a little bit better. Obviously, Dana's gone, and now the staff's clicking a lot better, I think. I think there's a lot more continuity amongst all the coaches, and that's good. I think you have guys like Brian Norwood, who's a much younger defensive backs coach than Tom Hayes. And he brings a lot of energy to the field and gets his guys going. And I think that, you know, I think Andre Coleman being in this new prominent role of offensive coordinator rather than just receivers coach, I think that, you know, I think he gets now the ability to utilize the athletes that K-State has. I think that those players know that they've had some skills go unused for a few years. And now with Andre Coleman, maybe they're getting a new look at an offense. And I think it's just kind of ignited a fire, like you said, under Coach Snyder and then under the players, under everybody in the system. And honestly, for the first time, I really feel like, I don't know, I just feel like whenever a coach says, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I really believe it. Because in years past, you know, they've said, for example, we're going to get Dalvin Warmack to Baltimore, and then they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, that Andre Coleman's saying that now, and I believe him. I just feel like there's this new, almost a fresh start. And it's kind of weird to say fresh start because a lot of these coaches are the same, but just being in different positions, it kind of gives you that.
Go Powercats. Riley Gates, our guest today, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. And Riley will be our guest throughout the football and basketball season. Can talk K-State athletics every Tuesday at 9:30 here on the Sports Ticket on KD Country 94. So let's talk about Andre Coleman. And he has said to the media and to you guys, of course, that he says, hey, we're not reinventing the wheel, but there are going to be some twists, as he called it, to the offense. You have any idea what those twists may be?
I mean, I think you're just going to see – it's not going to be these drag – you know, people want to say, is K-State going to do something different offensively? Are they going to go five wideouts in the air down the field? And, I mean, that's not what they're going to do. But I think we're going to see a lot less quarterback run game, or at least designed quarterback run game, because I think that everybody knows you can't be putting your quarterbacks in the position to be injured all the time. I think you're going to see Alex Barnes get a lot of carries, because I think he's taken his physical game up to a whole new level, which is kind of weird to say because he's always been one of the more physically talented guys on the team. But, you know, probably the most prominent change you're going to see is just small tweaks in the passing game. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of short kind of over the middle passes, maybe passes to tight ends. You know, Andre Coleman played in the NFL, and he was a really good receiver in the NFL, but it's not necessarily to say they're going to run, you know, like I said, that five wide out Oregon type offense, but I think they're going to be running a lot more passes. I think you're going to see K-State become a little bit more of a passing team than they have been in years past, just because that's the way the league's going, that's the way the NCAA is going, and you kind of have to play that way to keep up with teams right now, and especially, you know, you got Texas Tech in the conference as a team that likes to air it out a bunch, and yeah, it just, like I said, it's the way it's going. I think Casey's going to throw the ball a lot more, keep quarterbacks healthy, and I think it's a good change for this offense. I think it's a change that needed to come a while ago, but, you know, maybe people were just kind of stuck in their ways, and now it's Andre Coleman at the helm, and a guy in Colin Klein who has that experience of playing, obviously, I think you can kind of mesh that all together into a really good system.
So when you say that you think they're going to pass the ball more, that, I think, immediately creates a light bulb going off in K-State fans' heads as they're listening to this segment right now, saying, ah, so that does mean Skylar Thompson's probably going to be the guy.
Well, that's what a lot of people would think, you know, obviously, and I don't think there's any secret that Skylar is the more talented passer of the two in terms of him and Alex Delton. But I don't think that sometimes Alex Delton gets the credit necessary for being his ability to throw the ball, and I don't think that Skylar Thompson gets his credit due for being able to run the ball. I think both are incredibly talented at both of those. And, you know, I think it's going to be Alex Delton that takes the first snap of the season, just kind of from some things we've heard. You know, I think he's taken his leadership up to another level. I think that he's really kind of grasped this new role as a team leader, and I think Bill Snyder really appreciates that and the fact that he has more time in the system. And I think he's also, you know, taken his play up to another level. Now, that's not to say Skylar hasn't. I think Skylar's had a really good summer from everything I've heard as well. But, you know, I just think it's going to be Alex on the first game, but I don't think that means it's going to be just Alex all year. You know, they're going to do a lot of changing in this first game. I'd like to see him stay with one consistent guy for the most part in the Mississippi State game, just because, you know, that's a really good team. You can't be messing with your offense too much in that game, and then, you know, maybe experiment a little bit more in UTSA. You know, but by the time you go to West Virginia in game four, I'd really like to see them have one solidified starter, and maybe kind of sprinkle the second guy in from time to time, just because you need that consistency in your offense. You need one guy to really kind of manage that offense. And honestly, I think that kind of as the season plays on, I think Skylar Thompson might be the guy they try to ride with. But I do think it's going to be Alex Delton taking the first snaps of the season.
Had you asked Coach Coleman or anybody if they're going to put the screen pass back into the playbook?
I didn't directly ask about the screen pass, but I did write a feature about Dalvin Wormack. And, you know, I talked to Coach Coleman. I talked to Coach Dickey on the offensive line. I just talked to a lot of people, and they said, you know, the phrase scat back was thrown out there a lot. Utilize Dalvin's speed was thrown out there a lot. I think that, you know, one of the more infamous plays in K-State history is L. Roberson throwing the screen over the middle to Darren Sproles in the Big 12 championship game in 2003, and I think you're going to see a little bit of that this year, because I think they haven't used it so much in years past that now they can use it, and it's going to be so unexpected that they should find some good success off of it.
Go Power Guys, Riley Gates, our guest today, brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit, Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company, here today on the Sports Ticket. So Dalvin Wormack certainly sounds like you're buying in. He's going to be a bigger part of this team. It sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that Alex Barnes you think is going to be the number one running back, and they're not going to go running back by committee. Is that what you're insinuating there?
I mean, you know, I think that Justin Simmons will get some carries, and, you know, Dalvin will as well. But I think that the physical specimen is not a right word to use, but I can't think of a better way to put it right now with Alex Barnes. I think he's just, you know, I heard someone tell me, they said, everything that we're doing right now in the summer with our workouts, Alex is doing it twice as much. You know, he's adding more weight to his lifts. He's going twice as hard in his runs, and I just think he's taken it up to a whole new level. We saw his ability as a freshman. We saw him what he was capable as a freshman. Now, I think he took a step back last year. Now I think he's back up to that point where he was as a freshman, where we thought he could be. And so I think that more based on his talent and his capabilities rather than, you know, unfortunately, Justin Simmons, I think we'll see his playing time go down. And Justin Simmons is a really talented back as well, but I just think what Alex Barnes brings to the field is going to be too much. And they're going to ride him probably, like, you know, I'd say 70-80% of the carries if I had to put a number on it.
So you were saying earlier that you think K-State with Andre Coleman will throw the ball a little bit more. Now the question is, who's going to catch the football? Wormack could be one of those guys, or Barnes on screen passes, or Silman. But what about the wide receiver position? Because that seems to be an area of inexperience.
Yeah, it's not great right now. I guess I shouldn't say it's not great. It's just that you don't have your guy. You know, in years past, you've always had that one guy, and Byron Pringle has kind of been that guy for the past couple of years. Well, now it's kind of a mix right now of who you're really going to throw to. I mean, I think Dalton Schoen is always a reliable target. We saw that last year. I think Isaiah Zuber will be the number one guy that they look to, but, you know, he's not Byron Pringle in terms of his size and his strength on the field. I think he's more speed and agility than anything out there. So I think he'll be a good number one, but he's not, like I said, that physical size that Byron had. And Dalton is reliable, but Dalton's not the type of athlete that, you know, someone like Byron was. The thing at K-State is you've got tons of receivers usually that, you know, you don't necessarily have a James Washington at Oklahoma State, you know, a guy that you're always throwing to and he's getting 200 to 300 yards per game. I think that those two will be the main guys, and then also I think you're going to see a lot of Zach Reuter this year. I've heard that he's really kind of stepped up as a senior this year, both physically and in terms of his leadership, so I think he'll see some time. And you know, Landry Weber's a name that keeps getting thrown out there a whole lot. Honestly, in spring, I kind of thought it was just to maybe light a fire under some other guys, but it sounds like Landry's been pretty solid out there, so you could see him from time to time. But, you know, the one guy I'm really interested to see this year is Jabastian Taylor. He's a redshirt freshman, and, you know, we saw him in the spring game. He made some pretty impressive plays, and he does have that physical size and that talent that Byron Pringle had. It's just a question of, does he know the offense well enough? Can he be, you know, does he do the things right when he's not being thrown the ball? Does he block well down the field? And, you know, we know in Bill Snyder's system, those things matter just as much as catching the ball. So I think if he gets his chance, I think he could be a really good receiver and, you know, make some really big plays and really excite fans. But I do want to caution fans, because there is a chance that he might not even see the field that much this year.
On the defensive side of the ball, what's your biggest area of concern?
You know, probably just that linebacker spot right now, just because you lose your two top tacklers last year in Jade Kirby and Trent Tanking. And I'm confident in what they're going to put out on the field at linebacker. Daquan Patton is a JUCO transfer who sat out last year as a redshirt, and I think he's going to come in and make some plays. And they also have Elijah Sullivan, who is very athletic, and he got some time last season, so he knows what this is all about. But, you know, he didn't play in the fan appreciation game a week or two ago, and, you know, we kind of looked into it, and it sounds like he did get a little bit dinged up, so I'm not really sure when he will be 100% good to go. They're hoping by the, you know, early non-conference, but he might not be out there for a while. And so then you're kind of looking at guys like Sam Sizelove and, you know, Eric Gallen II. So I think they have the players out there that can fill that linebacker spot. I think they have guys that are talented enough to make plays. It's just a question of, you know, do they, you know, they're going to be rolling the dice. The reason Trent Tanking and Jade Kirby were out there all the time is because they knew where they were supposed to be. You know, they maybe weren't making the most athletic plays in the world. They maybe were getting beat by guys who were faster than them, but they knew where to be. They knew where to get their guys. Now, do Elijah Sullivan and Daquan Patton, are they always going to know that? I don't think so. I don't know if they're necessarily, as well-versed in the defensive playbook as those two guys were, but I think that they're going to maybe roll the dice a little bit more. I think Blake Seiler sees, hey, I've got two really talented guys out here, and I can't be sitting them on the bench just because maybe they don't know everything, you know, front and back, up and down. So I think you're going to see them get burned from time to time, but then I think you're going to see them make some plays. So it'll be interesting to see just kind of how they adapt to that new role.
Riley Gates, our guest, the Go Powercat, joining us every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and also Heineken Electric. All right, time for off-the-wall questions for you. I know that you're pretty excited. I know I am. And some Chiefs fans think he's going to lead him to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, the new quarterback of the Chiefs. On Friday, Riley, he threw a ball in the air 68.6 yards on the fly. So your off-the-wall question, how many yards in the air can you throw a football?
Oh, man. I don't know. I would like to think that I could probably get it. I bet I could push 40.
40? Okay.
I'd say 30 to 40.
30 to 40. How many for your brother, Parker?
Not much more than that. Maybe a little bit more. He doesn't have the arm. He was just fast.
Yeah, right. Yes. Is that what happened when you guys were growing up? Is like he would do something to you and then he would just run really fast? Could you catch him or did you have to trick him?
Well, there was a phase in there where I was pretty fast too. Uh-huh. But then he kind of kept getting faster and I kind of didn't. Yeah, I didn't really try to get in too many foot races with him, that's for sure.
I understand there. All right, another off-the-wall question. When you're 83, Bill Snyder will be 83 if he lives out this contract. Hopefully he does make it to 83. When you make it to 83, I'm being very optimistic, and you certainly could, what do you think you'll be doing at the age of 83?
I was going to say, I might be dead by then. Who knows?
Well, that would be an answer, I guess.
Man, when I'm 83, I plan to be doing not a whole lot except for, you know, playing golf and sitting on my couch. That's about all I want to be doing at 83, but hopefully I have enough money to do that by then.
That's a good point. If Whataburger isn't an option for you, where would you choose next to eat?
In camp, like anywhere?
Anywhere.
In the country?
Anywhere.
Oh, man. I probably would go with Taco Lucha in Manhattan. That's my place.
Taco Lucha?
And, it's very, very good. I've spent, I don't want to know how much money I've spent there, actually. It's too much.
I'm sure it was all on food, right?
Yeah. Only food. Yeah.
Now, see, if you really would be a true K-Stater, Riley, you would have been a shill, and you would have said Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A is now going to be served at K-State, right?
Yes, it is. I think I'm going to have to recruit some people to maybe meet me like at the elevator at halftime or something at games, because I don't think we're going to get Chick-fil-A where I sit.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that. You got time, though. You got some time to figure it out. Yeah. Overall, your level of excitement for this upcoming football season, we'll talk more with you next Tuesday about their first game, and we'll break it down even more. But just as a final question to you today on our first time this chat with you, as we'll do this every Tuesday during the sports season, talking K-State Athletics, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited would you rate your excitability about this team and what it's capable of doing?
You know, I would probably say a solid 7, pushing an 8. You know, I really think this is a team that might, they're really talented. I think that if they get it figured out and get it rolling early, I think they could find themselves, you know, contending in that top half of the conference, and I think they could see them, you know, win anywhere from 8 to 9 games winning. I went 8-4 last night on a radio show, and, you know, I'll sit down next week or this week and really kind of iron it out fully and make my final predictions. But I really think that if they get it figured out early, I think that they could be an 8-9 win team and go to a really good bowl game. And maybe even better than that. You know, maybe they win 10 games or so and play in a Big 12 championship game. But also if they start out, you know, they start out 2-2, they lose to Mississippi State, they lose to West Virginia, it's a snowball downhill that you don't want to have slowly building up. So I would say I'm pretty confident about what this team can do, but
you know, you never know. Maybe you lay an egg like you did last year against Vanderbilt.
Well, that's why they play the games. Hey, man, we look forward to having you on every Tuesday to talk K-State athletics. Enjoy not going to class for the rest of the day. Good luck with the exercise if you get there, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, man.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
That's Go Power Cats. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.